This morning we will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll be reading verses 14 through 21. If you have the Bible in the pew in front of you or the seat in front of you, it's page 908. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for this great plan of salvation that these verses talk about, Lord. We thank you that you made a way through Christ for us to be reconciled to you, Lord, have a right relationship with you, Lord, to become a new creation in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you do not count our sins against us because of Christ's sacrifice, Lord, and death and resurrection, Lord. We thank you for the new life that we have in you. Lord, we thank you that even beyond that glorious truth, Lord, that you give us the opportunity, Lord, to be part of the ministry of bringing others, Lord, to be reconciled to you. Lord, you made it possible. You made your plan, Lord, was for us to be part of bringing the message to others, Lord, to let them know that they can also be reconciled to Christ, Lord. We thank you for that opportunity you've given us. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't squander it, Lord. We pray that we would not live our lives for ourselves, but we would live it, Lord, to be your ambassadors to others, Lord. We pray for those who will be teaching the kids this morning, Lord. We pray for the kids as they hear your word. Pray that they would come to know you and love you. Lord, we pray for so many of our teens, even this morning, who are at Camp Venango. Lord, we thank you for those who sacrificed their week, Lord, to bring your word and your gospel truth to those kids. Lord, we pray for those kids this morning who do not know you, even there this morning, as they hear your word preached. We pray that they would respond. Lord, we pray for us in this room, those in this room, Lord, who do not know you. We pray that they would heed the words of this text, Lord, and be reconciled to God. You this morning, Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for Bart as he comes forward and expounds on this text. Lord, we pray that you give him words to say. May your spirit speak through him, Lord, and apply your word to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, third grade and below, you may be dismissed to your classes.
Well, good morning. I don't know how long it's been since I've been up here. Might have been a while. Hopefully you recognize my face. My name is Bart Allen, and most of you know me, but I should never take it for granted that you absolutely do know who I am, who we are. I want to make a comment about, you know, this is Missionary Emphasis Month or whatever we call it. I didn't write it down. It may seem strange to you, even more than a little strange, that we have an emphasis on sending missionaries to the ends of the earth. Try explaining that to your unsaved neighbor. It might take a while. He might give up on you. You might give up on him, understanding it. I have that experience every once in a while, you know, as I live here in Meadville and I have to introduce myself, and inevitably the question is, what do you do? You know, and I, no matter which direction I come at it, I say I'm a translator or I live among tribal people. Man, usually I got to explain that. And it gets interesting, and people often will give up. They're not all that interested. But if you come to this church and you've been here the past couple weeks, you notice we have an emphasis on sending people out. That's just strange. And I embrace it. Okay, it's strange. It's strange in the world to send people to the ends of the earth, and the question is why? If you've been listening to some of the music this morning, it's strange as well to come, gather with a group of people and sing about a death. To sing about somebody dying, to have pictures of the cross there by the words, just strange. And if you don't know that God demonstrated his love and that he sent his son to die in our place to take your death penalty, it would be very strange. But because we believe that Jesus came and took all our punishment on the cross, we also believe that everyone needs to know about that. That's why we go everywhere around the globe, taking the best message. So there's a short explanation. If you want to ask more about it, you can do that. Guys, I don't know if the back monitor actually comes on or not. If not, that's no problem. I can always turn and make sure I'm on the slide you're on. But good morning again. You already know a little bit about who I am, but this church sent us out to Papua New Guinea, a place that has more than 850 language groups. And we work in one of them, the Amdu People and Language Group. And during the ABF hour, or the second hour, as I like to call it, we'll tell a little bit more about how God sent us there and update you about that. But I don't know if you were here when Jesse and Savannah were down here in front about 2 weeks ago, right? Talking about what the Lord is leading them to do, their training, and it really took me back because I stood in the exact same place, and some of you were here for that, specifically you, sir, and said the exact same things. Hoping, pinning all my hopes on Christ, knowing that in my heart this is the way God was leading me, and what I had was what you saw on the screen, hoping that those things were going to fulfill or come to fulfillment in God's strength. And I thought, as I was listening to that, why don't I take the form that they showed you, the thing that they're hoping, and show you what God has done. Okay? So it's been quite a few years since I stood here and was about to launch into support raising, and all of that was future, you know, and we're shaking and walking into it going, hey, this is what we think the Lord wants us to do, and we keep asking him to open the doors, and he keeps doing that, so we keep walking through, and I thought it'd be beneficial to show you what he's done, so stay for the second hour if you're able to, but here's the short version. If you just can't, no condemnation. This church sent us out to Papua New Guinea in 2009. So that was a few years ago. And we learned the national language of that country and moved into the Amdu tribe in 2013. Obviously, I'm skipping a lot of detail. After learning the Amdu tribal language, one of the most difficult things ever. The church was born in 2020. So if you're good at math, you've figured out how old the first babies are there. And now we're training Bible teachers. But we're here right now. And my coworker, he brought back their last child, so they're over in Michigan. Neither of us are with these believers. They're totally leaning on the Lord right now and probably receiving a lot of pressure from the community to leave their testimony about Christ alone. So would you pray for them? Please do. I'll tell you a lot more about that because we still do meet with them, and I'll tell you about that in the second hour. As I listened to Jason Rice speaking last week and their update, I wondered how many people sitting here are just blown away by the preaching and the pictures that missionaries show and their plans and all these things and immediately say, that's not me. I could never do that. That's way beyond me. And they totally miss that all of these things are way beyond every one of us. What it takes is for the believer to take one step of faith at a time. And that's what I want to encourage you about today. One step of faith at a time. So, this is a missionary message from a missionary. You would expect him to say, go, right? And it might show up in the message somewhere. If you're able to pick it out, maybe I'll give you a sticker. But today I'm saying don't. Does anybody remember? I know one person in this room probably will. Anyone remember someone famous giving that command at a news conference? Don't. Yep. Former President Biden stood at a news conference more than 2 years ago to stop Iran from retaliating against Israel, and that's what he said. Someone asked him what he would say to them, and he looked at the camera and said, don't. Did it work? No, it didn't work. Why not? It seems like those kind of words only work if you have the right authority. And we'll get back to that after a little bit here. But let me ask you this question. And you probably have asked yourself this before. What would you do if Jesus asked you to do something? And if I came down through the chairs and asked you, every single person would say, of course, I would say yes. Would you? I asked myself that question. Something like, follow me. Would my answer be to drop everything? I think you can see the verse references there if you want to turn to them. I'm just going to read them from here. But in Matthew 19, verse 16, very familiar stuff. The account of the rich young ruler, as we call it. Jesus asked him to join or follow him. You know what he said, but here's what the Bible says. Once a man came to Jesus, so he had this impetus to go ask a question that was burning in his mind. Teacher, what good thing must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus answered in verse 20. Oh no, he answered Jesus in verse 20. I'm skipping ahead. I have obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else do I need to do? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me. Maybe that one's struck you. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he was very rich. And most of you will instantly know the answer to this one. But what did Peter and the fishermen do when Jesus asked them to follow him? In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, come with me and I will teach you to catch people or make you fishers of men. And what did they do? They dropped everything. Verse 20, at once, the Bible says, at once, they left their nets and went with him. So what would you do? If he asked you to join him, would you leave everything for the joy of following the Son of God? I've often wondered, would I say yes right away? Would I drop everything? Or would I struggle with what my Creator was asking me to do? Would I lay everything down? I think it would make a difference if I knew the authority behind the command. This life that we live here in Meadville, PA, is more than the accumulation of goods or praise. It's about more than the young man or woman that you're interested in. It's about way more than your career, your house, your retirement plan, your bank account. But we seem to make it about that stuff. And maybe it's not even intentional. Those become the main goals. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, we're supposed to be taking part in the plan for the rescue of lost people. People all around us. And he's asking you and I to follow him. This is why he sent his son to die. So, what does it say? Don't. Don't be distracted by good things. Yes, nice things, but things that aren't the point. But things distract us all the time, right? I have a rust spot on the side of my van that's distracting me various times, like condemnation. You've left that now for a whole year. Start figuring that out. But how about your phone? Just a small, innocent little thing. Harmless, right? Not so harmless. This isn't everyone, but is it even quantifiable how much time your phone has stolen from you? Things distract us all the time. Maybe it's not your phone, but it's me too. Am I unwittingly cooperating with the enemy and wasting my life? What did people get distracted by before there were phones? Have we even thought about that in a while? We were distractible before that, yes. And some of us lived before there were such things as these. All I could come up with, you know, if I'm sitting in church and I'm being distracted, it wasn't my phone, it was my thoughts. My thoughts distracted me. So it's not as if your phone was the only problem, but we don't have any problem with being distracted by our thoughts anymore now that we have phone. We don't have thoughts. So that's not a problem. But if it isn't your phone stealing the minutes and hours of your life away, how many other things are stealing them away? Your nice things, good things, and how much of our thoughts and plans have to do with other things that we want but don't have yet? Don't allow your life to be stolen away by something that was never meant to take a defining role. Good things have been given to bless, of course, like money and relationships and your job, etc., but they were never given to take the main place in your life, which is to follow Jesus wherever he will lead and join God in winning lost people while there's still time. This is a very familiar verse. Matthew 6, just look at it here for a couple minutes. In Matthew 6, 32 and 33, Jesus said, "For the Gentiles, or unbelievers, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So who is being portrayed here as chasing or worrying about things? Pardon? Unbelievers. 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." It's not really about the things, but we do get distracted by them. The "but" in there is supposed to be the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. Don't be worried and chasing after all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is about living under God's direction and control. Is he your king? When you pray, do you say that to him? Sometimes I get so familiar with calling him Lord, I need to switch and call him Master. Sometimes we get very familiar with certain words. If he is my king, when he speaks, do I obey? And I'm talking about little things. That's why I pulled out my phone. Seeking God's kingdom first, making what the king thinks matters most, will keep things interesting for a lifetime as you pray and sacrifice and serve and love people. It means aligning yourself with what he values, what his goals and priorities are, making sure your life is pursuing those things. So again, we're good at being quiet and not asking the best questions. So if you have questions, either about how I started, why are people being sent to the ends of the earth? Why is this a continual push? Why are we still doing this in 2026? Why do we sing songs about someone on a cross? I don't understand all this. What is it about God's goals and priorities, his values? I don't necessarily understand those things. Those are key questions. Please ask someone. I can be someone you can ask. If you don't want to, ask somebody else, please. But before you put his kingdom first, it makes sense that you have to be in his kingdom. You have to be in his kingdom first. Did you know that salvation is not just about having your sins forgiven? That's what we usually focus on. But here's another great thing. It's about moving from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Think about that. All of that was made possible at the cross by the death of Jesus. And that's why he came, to be a sufficient sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says that when you believe that, he brought you from one family into his family, from being an enemy to being part of his family. But why didn't he take you right away to be with him in heaven? Seems kind of cruel. Maybe you feel like, yeah, life's not going so great. And I understand that. There's lots of things that aren't so great. Why did he leave me down here if you say he loves me so much? There is a reason. Did he do the impossible to save you and bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into his family? Transfer you to the kingdom of light so you could do as you please? Probably not. About to live like everyone else does on this planet. No, the church, which is made up of believers, has been brought out of one kingdom through great sacrifice to take part in the plan. Okay, and these verses were read before, and this isn't new to you, but we'll go just quickly verse by verse. Here's what it says. Yours might use a different word here, but 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us." Yours might say some other C word, probably, right? Controls us, constrains us. I don't know, there might be another one. "Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. We have the sentence of death on us." I am, as a person, a human born in this world, guilty. and I have the sentence of death on me. But in God's plan, Jesus came to take my death penalty on himself. That's why you see different pictures of the cross. One, two, there's another one back there. You might find more. You often find them in when we sing as well. You see somebody, some people wearing them around their necks. This is the reason. If you don't understand these things, it's very important that you do. In God's plan, Jesus came to take your death penalty and died in our place. The next verse says, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. They might no longer live for themselves, but for him. This applies to all believers, communicating to us we're called to a new purpose. And a famous one says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's all believers, those who trust in Christ's sacrifice alone, that person is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That old kingdom I used to live for, we're finished. All its pursuits pertaining to me, we're done. I need to be thinking about that. And this, verse 18, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation, bringing back into right fellowship those who were estranged. And God does this act through us who have been reconciled. If you've been reconciled to God, you know it. You knew you were estranged. You knew you were far from God. You knew you had the sentence of death on you, and then you found out that God's plan was another. His son came and took that penalty in your place so that you might be brought into fellowship with him again. That's called reconciliation. And our goal is to take this everywhere. And everywhere means everywhere. Everyone who's ever been born has been born estranged, separated from God. Verse 19 says, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And the last verse here, therefore, because of that, in light of that, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Kind of bonkers. It's always kind of like, okay, that's God saying that, so of course I have to say it makes sense, right? But when you think about it, God choosing to use you and me. Now, I can find a lot of fault with me. I don't know about you. I don't explain this marvelous message very well, despite what you might think. It's easy for you to say, well, he probably does it really well, but I can't. But I have a broken brain. It's getting brokener by the day. Broken tongue. And my ways are broken too. I'm a human just like you. And yet God says, this is my way. I'm going to bring people into the kingdom. This is my way of reconciling people. You've got to take the good news, and I will be with you always. That's what Jesus told his followers when he told them to go. The best news, in my opinion, and I have found that to be true, There have been some very scary and dark situations that I've been in, and I have found that he is there. So today I'm mobilizing you, or maybe remobilizing all of you, not just some of you. If you're in the family, this is your calling. Take your broken tongue and your broken brain and take the message. Shake yourself out of your delusion of the things of this world that you're pursuing that's taken you out of the fight. Shake off the delusion that it's other special people who are doing this and not you. I have this picture in my mind. The world is an inky dark place, and we believers have a lit torch, or we are a light, if you prefer. And we are told to walk into the darkness, trusting our Lord Jesus. That could be across the street from me. Maybe you don't know that it's really scary for me to go talk to my across the street neighbor, even if I'm picturing myself, I'm a lit torch, God's with me. When someone trusts in Christ's sacrifice alone as sufficient to make them clean in God's eyes, then they are set on fire too. And believers were like flames going and lighting others on fire. Each of us goes around to light others around us. Important thing to note in this illustration is it's not some of us that are on fire lighting others up for his name. All of us have this ministry, as we read. And if you want to talk about that with me, let's grab some time together. If that spark something in your heart and you just would like to talk to somebody, where do I get started? I want to, you know, the emphasis of this hour and next hour is this one step at a time idea, a step of faith. Yes, they can be scary. Yes, you have to walk through the door. Yes, sometimes it's dark and you don't know where that foot's going to land. I don't know how it's going to go. But he said, I will be with you always. Some of you need to go to the end of the earth, because there are many still who have never heard the gospel of grace and won't. That's the part that got me going. They won't hear unless someone from the reconciliation team goes. If you're a young person here and you're wondering what to do with your life, come talk to me. You're needed. If you're a young professional who wants to give of their talents, or a retired person who wants to make a difference, you can. There are many, many roles. But some of us need to do the equally scary thing and go to our neighbor. I do put them on equal level. Going across the world, learning an unwritten language. Who knows what kind of culture they got, what kind of germs they got. What am I going to do? How am I going to protect my family? On equal scary footing to going across the street. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It might be very scary, but it is equally noble in the eyes of God. This is something I noticed the Amdu believers tend to struggle with. They say, can't wait till we go over there to that next language group bordering ours. They used to be our enemies. Can't wait to go over there. When can we do that? Looking forward to it. crossing language borders and scary rivers for real. No bridges to take the gospel over there, but they don't want to go to their neighbors and their family. Well, those people know me. So they struggle with that while being very interested in the other. Yeah, let's go anywhere else. So guess what we're not doing? We're not going somewhere else. We're equipping them to share the gospel regardless of their ability, regardless if they've ever learned to read or not. Sharing the gospel with the people that sleep in their house. Sharing the, and then going out from there. So don't make any more excuses. Say yes to the Lord. You don't know how much more time you have before you go see him. And light up the darkness. You'll never be sorry in eternity for how you were berated, how you looked foolish, how many mistakes you made. I have made so many. Been corrected constantly in another language. You can use English. I'll give you that. Would you bow your heads with me? Bowing before the Lord, think carefully about what he's been talking with you about lately. Maybe he's talking to you about sharing the good news of what Jesus did. And you're scared. Don't say no to him. Say yes. And then go. One step at a time. Or maybe he's been talking with you simply about some way that you've made being in and like the world normal. It could be some way that you use your mouth or your money or your phone. Whatever it is, however small, I urge you to obey him today. Don't say no to him. Say yes. And quickly make whatever changes he's talking with you about, even small ones. Don't delay. Start in the small steps I referred to in the beginning. And make it the habit of your life to quickly say yes when he points something out to you. And don't forget the other command in our text today in Matthew 6 says, seek his righteousness. As we get to know our Savior, seeking his kingdom above all other things and his righteousness, I believe we won't have to make ourselves be brave and bold to obey him and the changes he wants to see in our lives or in speaking to others about him. It will be the natural outflow of our closeness with the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're patient with us. Thank you that though you did incredible hard work going to the cross, incredible pain, incredible sadness, rejected by everyone. You took on yourself the death penalty so that we might be made clean in your eyes forever. For those that trust you are brought into your family, God, but you give us this ministry of going to others here and everywhere. God, I recognize it starts with small choices. If I'm used to the small yeses, they will gradually be no different than the one I thought super scary. I will be used to obeying you. Lord, help us to say yes today in the things that you're identifying to our minds right now. And we're so grateful that you are and will follow your promise to be with us to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.